Now may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts find acceptance in the sight of God, who is Rock and Redeemer, that we, by the Holy Spirit, would trust the message much more than the messenger, and that we would discover something in these words from Matthew and Psalms today that will help us to become the church that God is calling us to be. Amen. So last week I preached about the richness of soil and the relationship between healthy soil and healthy crops. Healthy plants. We focused on Jesus's parable of the sower, and we remembered the lessons that my grandmother Ruby taught me about gardening in the summer gardens of my youth. We remembered how she was as concerned about the soil and the roots connected to the soil as she was about the fruits and vegetables that the plants were producing themselves. And last week after that sermon, I got texts and emails from lots of you about your gardens and your memories of being in gardens from long ago. But truth be told, I did not tell the whole story. No, I left something important about those gardens out. I was intentionally saving some of it for today when we heard this parable called the parable of the wheat and the weeds, or I just call it the parable of the weeds. Because in every garden which grows in good soil, there will also be weeds, weeds that exploit the good soil for their own benefit. You may have heard something like, into every life a little rain must fall. But today we're going to adapt that and say, into every garden or yard, some weeds are going to grow. So along with tilling the soil for my grandmother and fertilizing the vegetables with Miracle-Gro, what I mostly did as her unpaid assistant, as her free labor, was pull weeds. And in South Louisiana, there were lots and lots and lots of weeds. And weeding, especially in the Louisiana July sun, is a hard, hot, and quite frankly, terrible job. It's so bad that I hate doing it even today as a 51-year-old man. I dare say I don't know anyone that enjoys it, and if you do, I'd like to talk to you in the next couple days. But, and you know that in English, when we use the word but, everything we say after but is what matters most. But while weeding is a hot and terrible job, it is absolutely necessary. It must be done. So, trying to learn as much as I could this week about weeds, I went to the North Carolina State University Extension website, and there's a lot about weeds on there. It says, weeds are described as plants growing where they are not wanted, disrupting the appearance and use of lawns, recreational areas, gardens, and other turfs. In addition, they compete with desired grasses for space, waters, nutrients, and light. In other words, weeds are robbers. They are unsightly. And they can damage the very plants which folks are trying to grow and enjoy. Also, according to the NC State Extension, there are nearly 90 different kinds of weeds here in North Carolina. Some of y'all knew that. Some of you, like me, probably have most of those in your yard. My favorite ones on there, at least the names I like, I don't like the weeds, crabgrass, nutgrass, ragweed. There's one called prostrate knotweed. Quackgrass. You ever heard of that? Quackgrass? Spotted spurge, sandbur, and pigweed, also known as water hemp. When I was a pastor in Tarboro, the farmers in my church really hated pigweed. They really hated pigweed or water hemp because it has evolved to become herbicide resistant. It's a big weed, too. It can disrupt the harvesters and make a mess out of a sweet potato, cotton, or cantaloupe crop. Hard to kill, hard to remove, and thus appropriately named pigweed. Pigweed even sounds tough, doesn't it? But while Jesus is not talking about pigweed in eastern North Carolina in Matthew, he is, in fact, talking about weeds. He is telling the disciples and the listening crowds that in every good crop of wheat, some weeds are going to grow. My mentor and friend Ted Wardlaw, a brilliant pastor and the president emeritus of Austin Presbyterian Seminary in Texas, has written extensively about this text, and I am in his debt as to how I understand this parable. Remember Matthew 13 as a chapter has parable after parable after parable, each one an object lesson with the objects and characters of the parables metaphorically representing something important in the life of faith and in the life of the church. Additionally, in Matthew 13, Jesus often explains his parables, making interpreting them much easier for us. This is the case with the parable of the weeds. I hope as you noticed as Anne was reading it that it's like a couple days later, it almost seems like, or later in the same day, the disciples stop Jesus at this house and say, "Hey, can you explain the parable of the weeds to us? We didn't quite get it." And that's the case here. So the explanation is there. We know what it means. Matthew tells us. The question is, how does it apply to our lives today? Some 2,000 years after Jesus first told this parable, does it still matter? In short, the answer is a resounding yes. This is one that absolutely applies to me and to each and every one of us. And here's why. We all know something about weeds, yes? Literally, I imagine most of us adults and many children, once they are old enough to do so, have pulled a weed or two in our lifetimes. And as the weeds in this parable are a metaphor for the presence of sin and evil often in our lives, well, we adults certainly know much about sin and evil and how they infect us. Infect, not affect, but infect us and shape us, harming our very souls. Sin is technically any violation of God's law. But practically speaking, sin is literally anything that separates us from God, that pushes God away, or that pushes other people away, or that even helped us to get in conflict with our fullest selves. Evil is sin on steroids. It is the violation of God's law, yes, but the person who is in the grips of evil also takes delight in hurting themselves or hurting others. And note this, evil is sneaky. It's not like we see in horror movies or like we read in Stephen King stories. No, evil usually disguises itself and hides behind a pretty veneer. I'll never forget, back in 2014, I was preaching the Montreat Youth Conference, and I was working with my colleague, Jared McLaughlin, who's one of the pastors at University Presbyterian in Chapel Hill now. And Jared told a story to the kids that week about a trip he took to Africa. It was sort of like a church exploration mission trip thing. And on his way back in the airport, he met a man, by all appearances, a successful businessman from India or Pakistan. They talked for a while, and I think because Jared was an American, the man let his guard down and told Jared of his plans to make millions on the backs of the African laborers. He said to Jared, "You know, these people were just made to be exploited." His plan was to intentionally harm people. He looked real pretty on the outside, but his plan was to hurt people and to enjoy doing it, to knowingly underpay them for his own benefit. Just so you note, it's not today, but Jesus also tells parables about wages and laborers. And Jesus is completely against that type of thinking, because not only is it wrong, it smells of evil to me. Ultimately, you see, Jesus says both sin and evil are dangerous. And I would tell you the same. They are both to be avoided. So would anyone with too many weeds of sin in their gardens? They would tell you the same. Once they have weeded the flower beds of their hearts and their souls. Make no mistake about it, it's hard to uproot sin once it's taken hold. It's like pulling out crabgrass or nutgrass. We give in to untruth. We give in to lying, to lust, to greed, to envy, to anger, to scorn. And soon they've overgrown everything and they have become all-consuming. Like weeds in the summer garden, they can take over. Because their appetite and the appetite of sin itself is insatiable. Sin and the weeds of sin rob us, friends, of energy and of faith, and soon our perspectives are altered and we become corrupted in the worst ways. It is the book of Romans, of course, which reminds us that all people have sinned and fallen short of the kingdom of God. But it is that same book of Romans, it's the same book, which also teaches us that our sin, even our weeds, cannot diminish God's love for us. It seems like it's an either or, that we are either weeds or we are wheat, but the truth is it's always a both and. You see, we are prone to sin and loved by God at the same time. And remember that the church is made up of people, real human beings, and just as the weeds of sin and shame are part of our lives, so too is grace a part of our lives. My mentor, Ted Wardlaw, has written that the church, just like her people, is a mixed bag. And we are all of us at times saints and we are all of us at times sinners. The challenge is to live together in the garden, saints and sinners, live with each other alike. See, the key point of the parable of the weeds is that Jesus does not demand that the weeds be pulled immediately. Some of the weeds might very well find redemption, just as milkweed, which can be voracious, well, it turns out it's an essential food for butterflies of all shapes and sizes. My mentor, Ted Wardlaw, writes, "One cannot always tell about the kind of plants which are growing." And Lee Hunter, our new pastoral resident, when we were talking about this text this week, told me a story about my colleague Joe Clifford. He's the pastor at Myers Park Presbyterian in Charlotte. And he once showed a picture of the weeds and the wheat intermixed together. And the picture that he found, well, it was hard to tell the difference between the weeds and the wheat. Sometimes you see the one who is presenting the righteous front is harming others behind the veil. And sometimes the very people whom we have given up on are the very ones who show us the pathway back to God. Sometimes the most faithful among us are those who have fallen the farthest. And sometimes the most inspiring people are those who have lost the most. Sometimes the best stories we can tell are the ones that are full of weeds. Think of our Step Up Sunday speakers who yearly tell stories of bad choices, of harm, imprisonment, addiction, of people hurting them and of them hurting others. Hard lives filled with the wrong things. But with God's help, they turn away from that pain and shame. They weed their gardens and they become inspirations for us all. Think of the stories that we sometimes hear on the news about people who are part of deeply troubling and evil movements like neo-Nazi movements. But the people reform and they change. They renounce the evil of their past and then they dedicate themselves to helping others escape that shadow of hatred and violence. Note how the servants in the parable push for clarity. How are we supposed to do this? In the story, Jesus tells us they want to know what to do with the weeds and when to do it. They need and want guidance. And the answer from the landowner in the parable is to wait. Wait and see. This, of course, is a foreshadowing to the final judgment and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Don't pull the weeds now. Don't do the harvest now. But wait. Wait until it's time to do the harvest and then separate the bad weeds from the good grain. So yes, it makes us think of things like the second coming. But that's not all it's about. It's also a warning not to pass judgment too quickly. When the harvest is taken, God's realm will be preserved. It's like preacher Patrick Wilson says, God is infinitely patient. Patient. Waiting for all of God's children, saints and sinners alike, to finally come home. See, in every life, there are temptations to turn away from the way of God and turn towards sin, to turn our backs on God and make a move towards lust or greed. Only here's the thing, those sinful things, they cannot, will not, and never shall love us back. They'll never give anything to us. They just take. They are the weeds in the field, planted among the healthy crops. Jesus warns us in this parable that there are forces in this world which will tempt us to plant our gardens with things that cannot satisfy. Psalm 139, our Old Testament text today, is truly one of the most beautiful texts in all of the Bible. It is truly an essential text. It reminds us that God already knows us, which is a way of saying God already knows the saintly things we do, just as God knows the sinful things we do. God knows when we are the wheat and when we are the weeds. There is nothing to hide from God, which is why we pray a prayer of confession and worship each and every week. So if our souls are a garden, or if they are a field of wheat, how many weeds do we need to pull? Most days, are we living like good grain or are we weeds, robbing energy and hope at every spiritual turn? What do we need to take away? And what do we need to add at harvest time? These are the questions that Jesus is asking in this parable of the weeds, and they are essential questions and they are necessary. They help us, as my mentor said, to be reborn over and over and over again. They turn our gaze away from the world and towards the throne of grace. And in them, we become part of that harvest of grace itself. And friends, if we're not living for grace, that is compassion, forgiveness, honesty, acceptance, if we aren't living for those kind of things, then what exactly are we living for? For only grace can feed the soul. Just as only vegetables from the garden or wheat from the field can feed the body. This is the truth of our lives. It was true 2,000 years ago, which is why Jesus told the parable, and it remains true today. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord this day and all the days of our living. Go from this place, friends, that you would be part of the great harvest of grace, the great abundance of God's love, which is poured out upon the world each and every day. Help your friends, help your neighbors, help this church, that we might all do our parts in proclaiming the day of God. Until we meet again, may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.